Okay, today's daf is daf ayin. We're going to start right at the very top, the first line. Okay, we're continuing along our discussion about the, if you remember, Ezra brought with him all the people with flawed lineage or encouraged them to come, right? There was a machlok at Alu or Ha'elum. Was it forced or did they come on their own? Now we're going to try to prove, how do we know that all these people were really existing in the time of Ezra and were living with him? Okay, Geri v'charure minalan. How do we know this? We're going to quote Psukim now, which are going to indicate that there were all these types of people living in Israel at the time. Amrav Chista de Amar Krav v'chol hanivdal mitum'at goye ha'aretz elayhem. Okay, and everyone who is separated from the tum'at goye ha'aretz, the assumption is to separate, right? That means either you're a ger or you're an eved mishukhrar. They've separated themselves, meaning they were living in the tum'at goye ha'aretz, and they separated themselves from there. Mamzeri minalan. This one's going to be a little more complicated. Dichtiv vayishma san balata chorani v'tuvia ha'eved ha'moni. Okay, these are the characters, the non-Jewish characters in Nehemiah. So they're these non-Jewish guys. And Tuvia is in Eved Amoni. He's going to be our important person here. Uktiv ki rabim biYehuda ba'alei shfu'a lo. There's a lot of people who are sworn to him, so to speak. Why is that? Ki chatan hu l'shech shchenya ben arach. Okay, because he is the son-in-law of Shchenya ben Arach, who was a Jew. Meaning he married a non-Jewish woman. He married a Jewish woman. The Yehochanan b'no and his son Yehochanan. Okay, now it's unclear whether 100% Yehochanan was his son born from this union or maybe from another union. Lakachet bat Meshulam ben Brechia. His son also married a Jewish woman. So you now have these two non-Jewish men in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah married to Jewish women. So now, why does this prove there were mamzerim? Kasavar ove kochavim ve'eved ha'baba Israel havlav mamzer. Now, we don't hold this way, but the person who says this, uses this as proof, must be holding that if a Jew or a Jew marries an ove kochavim or a slave, then the vlad is a mamzer. Okay, so now they're going to say. Now, remember, what was this all to prove? This was all to prove not, I actually didn't say this absolutely correctly, not just that there were Jews in the time of Ezra, but there were Jews that he had taken out of Babel and brought to Eretz Israel. So we're going to have a few questions now. I'm sorry. They were mamzerim. I'm saying everything opposite today. That they were mamzerim that he took with them. Okay? So now here, it would stand to reason if this was Sambalad and Tuviah, these are characters. I mean, we're really talking about just about Tuviah here. These were characters living in Israel at the time that they didn't really come with him from Bavel. So there's going to be some questions.
Tuvia sounds like the name of somebody who could have converted. I mean, it sounds like a Jewish name.
Except he's an Eved Amoni, so you might think it's a Jewish name, but he's not. He's clearly non-Jewish. So now they say, so first of all, this only works, Hani Chalamanda Amar Havla Mamzer, right? Which we don't even hold like. Ella Lamanda Amar Havla Kasher Ma'ika Lameimar. Okay, so if you say the Vlad is kasher, then this doesn't prove anything about Mamzei root. V'tu, and additionally, Mimai Dehavile B'nei, Dilma Lo Havile B'nei. How do we know that they had children? Yes, we know they took Jewish wives, these non-Jewish men, but both him and his son. But it doesn't mean that his son was the one born from the Jewish woman, and it doesn't mean that the son had other children born from the Jewish woman. And furthermore, v'tu, additionally, Mimai Dehacha Havu Le'u Sliku. Dilma Hatam Havu. How do we know that they were in Babel and they went up to Eretz Yisrael? Maybe Hatam Havu. Maybe they were already there. And more likely they were already there because of it came from Tuvia. So what do they answer? Ela Mehacha. It must be a different pasuk. So they totally reject that answer. And they say it must be from here. Ve'ela ha'olim mitel melach, tel charsha, kruv adon. Now we're going to, it's kruv adon ve'imer. Now we're going to darshan these words. V'lo yachlu lahagid, we're continuing in the pasuk first. Okay, so these are the people who came, right? Olim, here we see. Okay, now we're definitely talking about people who came on Aliyah. From these places, Tel Malcha, Tel Harsha, Kruv, Adon, V'Imer, we're going to darshan these names. V'lo yachlu lahagi beit avotam v'zaram im Yisrael him. Okay, and they don't know how to say their lineage. We're already on a better place here, right? Much closer. Tel melach, elu ben adam shedomim ma'asehem l'ma'aseh stone. Because stone was melach, salt. So they say, now if you're like melach stone, oh, shenevcha l'tel melach, right? The stone was turned into a tail of melach. If you say stone, then probably they had improper relationships, in which case, right, they married their siblings or their, you know, anyone they weren't allowed to marry, in which case, there's mamzer. Tel harsha, ze shekorei abba v'imo mishatko. Mishatkato. I don't know how to pronounce it, struggling. Mishatkato. Okay, she would silence him. Okay, so meaning, the kid would say, that's my abba, you would call him abba, and the mother would say, shh, that's not your father. Okay, that's one of the cases, that's the shtuki. V'lo yachlu lahagi beit avotam v'zaram, what's that? Im Yisrael hem, what's this? Zehu asufi, shenesaf menashuk, right? He can't say who his parents are. Kiruv adon v'imer, what do we do with this? How do we darshan these words? We're going to have two different options. Amar Rabbi Avau, Amar, Amar Adon, okay. Rabbi Avau says in the name of Adon, okay. Ani Amarti, Yu Yisrael, oh sorry, Amar Adon, sorry, Amar Rabbi Avau. Amar Adon, meaning Hashem said, okay, this is darshaning, Kruv Adon V'Imer, right? So they're saying Adon Amar, it's a play on words here. Amar Adon, Ani Amarti, Yu Yisrael, Fanai Hashuvim Ke Kruv. I said, the Israel are going to be before me like the kruv, right, over the Aaron, the cherubs. V'hem samu atzmam kinamer, but they made themselves like a namer. There's different interpretations as to what this namer is, okay? And there's other questions, how do we darshan namer from this pasuk? So kruv, we understand. But namer, some people say, adon v'imer, the nun and the imer, right, it goes namer. The problem with this a little bit is that Amar Adon was also darshaning, so now we're darshaning it twice. Okay, what is an Amer? So the assumption here is, right, that they have problematic marriages. But how do we get to Namer? What's the connection between the word Namer to these problematic marriages? So one person says Namer is speckled, right? A leopard is speckled. So if it's speckled, it means it's got a mixture of all sorts of things in it.
That's genealogically tainted.
Okay, genealogically tainted. Other people say that it's from the root mamrim, like rebellious. So it's the opposite of the kruv, they were rebellious. Ika da'amri, some people darshan it, okay, the same kruv and namer, but it's the flip. Instead of saying God said they should be like me, like the kruv, but they put themselves as a namer, it works like this. Amar Rabbi Avau, Amar Adon, these are two versions of what Rabbi Avau himself said. Afal pi shesamu atzmam kinamer, even though they made themselves like an Amer and they were behaving terribly, chashuvim lefanai kekruv. I still treat them as a kruv. Okay? And as, instead of saying, they've disappointed me and that's it, right? It's saying it's a more hopeful message. So either which way, we've now proven that there were all these types of people living in, that Ezra brought from Babel to Eretz Israel. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, kol hanoseh isha she'ena hogenet lo, Ma'aleh alav ha-katuv ki'ilu harshu l'chol ha-olam kulo v'zar'o melech. Sorry, it's harsho l'chol ha-olam kulo v'zar'o melech. Anybody who marries a woman who's not appropriate for him to marry, okay, one of these improper marriages that we've been discussing, it's as if he was choresh, plowed the entire world, and the only thing that came up was salt. That obviously means it's all bad, right? His zera is ruined.
Sowed it with salt, which is what the Romans used to do.
Oh, right, and he sowed it with salt.
Which is specifically what the Romans used to do to the fields when they were conquering people.
Ah, they would destroy them. Okay, so he's basically destroying all the future possibilities for, you know, reproducing. Shene'emar ve'ela ha'olim mitel melach tel harsha. You understand, they're darshing the melach and the harsha, right? The choresh and then the melach. Amar Rav Barav Ada, Amar Rav. Kol hanosei isha l'shum mamon, anyone who marries a woman for money, havi lom banim she'enam mehuganim. Okay, he will have inappropriate, right, the kids that go off the derech. Shene'emar, b'Hashem bagdu ki banim zarim yuladu. Okay, as they rebelled against God, and they bore these strange children. So we'll get to the drasha in a minute. I want to just explain before we say this what this is really referring to. Most of the mafreshim say this doesn't mean a regular person who marries a woman for her money. What it means is someone who marries someone who's pasul to be married for money. In other words, he would right. He goes to marry a mamzer because he's offered a lot of money to marry her, something like that. Right? The family bribes him, let's say. Okay, so now what's going to happen to this person? So his banim will be anam huganim. How do we know? So the pasuk in Hosea says, okay, they've you have to read the whole pasuk. Hashem bagdu ki banim zarim yaladu, ata yochlem chodesh et chalkehem. So we're going to explain this pasuk now. V'shema tomar mamon palat. Maybe you'd think that okay, so maybe he'll have bad children, but he'll gain money from it. In other words, he can still be prosperous. It's almost like a rasha v'tovlo, right? Sometimes rasha'im, things go well for them. So maybe if he marries this woman for money, he'll actually make money off of it, even if his sons will be einam mehuganim. Talmud lamar, ata yochlem chodesh et chalkehem. What does that mean? Yochlem chodesh et chalkehem, meaning in a month, everything will be destroyed. That's all your money. V'shema tomar chalko v'lo chalka. Maybe you'll say it's just his money, but not her money. She'll still have money, and he'll be married to her. Talmud lamar chelkehem, right? It means both of them. Both of them will lose all their money. V'shema tomar lizman meruba. Maybe you'll say this will take place over a long period of time. Talmud lamar chodesh. Okay, so it's saying it will take a month, and everything will be destroyed. My mashma, how do we get it from the word chodesh? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, chodesh nichnas v'chodesh yotzei u'mamonam avad. Okay, a month is going to pass and they'll have no money. Amar Rabba bar Rav Ada v'amrila Amar Rabbi Sela Amar Rav Hamnuna kol hanosei isha she'ena hogenet lo Eliyahu kofto HaKadosh Baruch Hu rotzo. Okay, here we have it. If you marry someone not appropriate, Eliyahu comes personally and he ties you up, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes personally and gives you lashes. Okay, the mepharshim, one of the mepharshim say here that why does Eliyahu appear here? Because you're going to see Eliyahu appears on the next daf, and he's the one who fixes all the people with psulei chitun, okay, the problematic children. He fixes their lineage, and he therefore lashes you because you're making him work much harder. He's not very happy about it. Okay, but anyway, you see that they're connecting. Eliyahu appears here. You'll have to keep in your mind why Eliyahu keeps reappearing in this sugya specifically. By the way, I just want to point out, this is interesting that we're getting to this, right, to the end of Kiddushin. After we talked about all the details of Kiddushin, right now it's all about who can you marry, who can't you marry, how do you choose, you know, what are the issues? Okay, so now, again, Eina Hogenetlo could be Mamzer, Shifcha, you know, things like that. It could also be, some of them, for example, say, someone from a bad family. So, you know, they extend it to mean someone from, you know, someone who's a bad person, all sorts of other things. I didn't say this, but obviously I wanted to mention in the last pasuk, where this pasuk describes exactly what's going to happen. And if you marry someone for your money, within a month, you will lose all your money. Obviously, people can do this and not lose all their money. And, you know, this is viewed as it's the way the Gemara speaks in general. We've seen this many times, where it uses this type of language to deter people from doing things, right? It's not really meant to be exactly this is going to happen to you, exactly this formula, okay? We know that's not the case. And certainly Eliyahu HaNavi is not going to come and tie you up, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to appear there and start lashing you. The point is that what you're doing is going to anger the powers that be so much so that it's as if they want to personally lash you. V'tana al kulam, okay, here's another brayta that basically supports this. Al kulam Eliyahu kotev HaKadosh Baruch Hu chotem, okay, all these people, Eliyahu keeps the records, God signs on them. Oy lo leposel et zaro lefgom et mishpachto lenosei isha she'ena hogenet lo. Eliyahu kotev HaKadosh Baruch Hu rotzo, okay? Oy lo to the person who messes up his children, messes up his family, marries a woman who's not appropriate to him, and this is right, Eliyahu will tie him up and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lash out at him.
Maybe it's also because of the Eliyahu Izebel thing, that, you know, his
famous... He appeared with Izebel, so...
Yeah, she's like the ultimate woman who...
I see, who was Eina Hogenet and who really messed up. And here you have a marriage that was... Clearly, she brought Achav down with him. Right. He had married an Ishash and a Hogenet. Yafet. And there's Eliyahu, who kind of rectified the situation. And Yafet. And maybe that's why also they say he fixes things. Interesting. And there's Eliyahu both punished there, you know, but also cleaned up the situation. Okay. V'chol ha-posel pasul. And anyone who posels other people, he himself is pasul. Ve'eino medaber b'shivcho le'olam. And also someone, okay, there's a few different ways of how to read this, but it sounds like not only is kol ha-posel pasul, someone who posels someone else, but also someone who never speaks in praise of anybody else, he himself is pasul. This is a more psychological, okay, we'll see in 1 second. Va'amar Shmuel bimumo posel. What does that mean? If you're saying someone else is an eved, you're really projecting. It's really you who's an eved. Okay? Now we're going to have a very, very interesting, long, long, long story about this statement of Shmuel, the bimumo posel. Okay? That basically, someone who's lashing out at someone else, we're going to assume, according to this, he himself is pasul. Okay? Now how do you take this to mean it? Do you mean, okay, if you see someone claiming someone's an eved that we don't really know, and right, he claims it, so we're going to turn him into an eved? Like, what do you think? Or you think it's just saying, if you're posel someone, maybe, right, maybe it's because deep down you have some psul in you. Okay? And you can see this with people who don't praise other people, it's because they're weak, right? They're concerned about themselves, so they won't praise anybody else because it'll make them look worse. So that's also the second part. Okay, so here's our story. You ready? It's a very long story. There was a guy in from the Hardea who went into a butcher shop in Pumbedita. Amar lehu havle bisra. He said, give me a piece of meat. Amrule nitar ad deshakel l'shamed Rav Yehuda bar Yecheskel. Please wait until I give the piece of meat first to the shamash, right, the messenger of Rav Yehuda bar Yecheskel, who is none other than the famous Rav Yehuda that we see all the time in the Gemara. Okay, Rav Yehuda is always passing down the words of Shmuel and Rav, second generation Emora, very, very important Emora. Okay, so now, v'netiv lech, and then I'll give you. Amar, man Yehuda bar Shviskiel, dekadimli, deshakam in kamai. Okay, who is this Yehuda bar Shviskiel? Okay, he starts making fun of him. Now, Shviskiel, nobody really knows exactly what this is, but they claim that it means like he's a guy who eats a lot of meat, okay? And as here he's in the butcher shop, this guy's going first. It's like, who's this gluttonous Shviskiel who's coming in line before me? Azu Amrule the Rav Yehuda. They told Rav Yehuda what had happened. Shamte, he puts him in excommunication, okay? Amru, Ragil Dekare Inche Avde. And then people told him, this guy also calls other people Avadim. He claims they're avadim. Here it gets to our case. Achriz ale de avdehu. So Rav Yehuda says, right, he was obviously very angry at this guy for what he had done. He says, this guy is an eved. Okay? Because first of all, he was behaving inappropriately, lacking respect. Plus, he calls other people avadim. And like Shmuel said, b'mumo posel. So he took Shmuel very literally and he said, b'mumo posel means, ah, this guy must be an eved himself. So he turns him into an eved. Okay, so now he goes and he calls him to judgment in front of Rav Nachman. Okay, just check one quick thing.
The guy from the Hardia called Rav Yehuda to judgment in front of him.
Right, I'm just trying to remember who lived where. So Nahardeah was...
Nachman's in Nahardeah, and the guy is from Nahardeah.
Right. So he had gone to Pobedita, Rav Yehuda's town, and then when he went back home to Nahardeah, he called Rav Nachman and said, you know, Rav Nachman, bring this guy to court. Okay? So Rav Yehuda gets invited before Rav Nachman. Now, what's interesting here is, it seems from the story that Rav Nachman didn't know Rav Yehuda. Okay? He didn't know him at all. That's what seems to be clear from the story, which I find very interesting. So now he calls him Ladin before Rav Nachman. Aita pitka de hazmana. Okay, so he gives him a subpoena. Aza Rav Yehuda lekameja Rav Huna. So Rav Yehuda goes up before Rav Huna and says to him, Amale, Izel lo Izel, what do you think? Should I go or should I not go? Because Rav Yehuda's like, what? Right? What is this? This low life is bringing me to judgment in front of Rav Nachman. Like, I'm much bigger than him. And what am I, you know, I'm not going to go to court before Rav Nachman. Okay, it's like sending one of the Gdolei Hador to a local court. You know, I mean, Rav Nachman was an important person. Now, remember what we know about Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, we've seen him a bunch of times. He's married to Yalta, okay, who's going to appear in this story. And Yalta, what made her famous? She was the daughter of the Reish Galuta. So he was well connected with the Reish Galuta. So maybe he wasn't a big enough Talmid Chacham as much as Rabbi Yehuda was, but he had this certain status, exactly. So Amar le, Meza lo mebay alach lemezal, Mishum degav rabat. You don't have to go to court because you're a very important person. It's almost like certain people have diplomatic immunity, okay, so to speak. Ela mishum yakari de bein nasiya kumzil. But out of respect for the Beit HaNasi, for the Reish Galuta, you should go. Ata eshkache de ka'avid ma'akeh. He gets there and he sees Rav Nachman building a ma'akeh, a fence. Amar le, so Rav Yehuda says to him, lo saval amar lahada amar Rav Huna bar Idi amar Shmuel, kevan shenitmane adam parnasa latzibor asur basiyah malacha b'fnei shlosha. Didn't you hear that Rav Huna bar Idi says in the name of Shmuel, by the way, I don't know what to make of this, but all the time he's quoting Shmuel, okay? I don't know historically, like with Shmuel, you know, someone Rav Nachman wouldn't necessarily hold by, I'm not sure, but what's interesting here is the whole story is holding like Shmuel. And he says, don't you know that if you're a parnasa latzibur, you're not allowed to do malacha in front of three people. You're not allowed to be working. So now, there's all sorts of answers as to why this is, okay? Maybe it's because if people see you working, they'll say, oh, you don't have enough time to be dealing with public stuff, and therefore they won't come to you with their questions. Or it's not respectful, right? If people see you changing your light bulbs, right? Like, it's not respectful. So there's a bunch of different other reasons given. Anyway, he says, don't you know that that's the case, right? Interesting to say what we would do with this, right? And we do know that people are parnasim, let's see, boy, they still do menial tasks. Amarle, Porta de Gundarita Hudaka Avidna. I'm making a very small fence. It's a minor thing. Some people say that maybe he was trying to say, I'm building a ma'akeh, which is a mitzvah, and I'd rather do the mitzvah myself than let someone else do it. But either which way, he says it in the strange Lashon of Porta de Gundarita. Amar le, mi sanya ma'akeh dechtib ba'oraita o mechitza de amar rabbanan? So Rav Yehuda says to him, right, he's being very testy. He says, what, is it not good enough, the language of the Torah or the language of the rabbis, that you're picking some other word that nobody uses, right? In other words, use either Torah Lashon of ma'akeh or Rabbanan Lashon of mechitza. Why are you saying this Porta de Gundarita? Amar le, yativ mar akarpita. Go sit down on this couch. Amar le, umi sane safsal de amar rabbana no itzdeba de amar inche. What? Is it not, you know, shouldn't you use the term safsal that the rabbis use, or itzdeba, which the general populace uses? Like, what are you using? It's almost like, why are you using this highfalutin language, right? Or maybe it's low-level language. And he's saying, really, I think the story is indicating that it's low-level language. Okay? Amar le, lechomar etrunga. Why don't you eat an etrog? Amar le, hachi amar Shmuel. Again, he's quoting Shmuel. Kol homer etrunga tilta biram rucha. Okay, here actually it sounds like maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is saying it's arrogant to say this. Okay, you have a third of gasut haruach here. O etrog kedekar yu rabbanan. O etroga de amar inche. In other words, either say etrog like the rabbis called it, or etroga that people say, but not etrunga. Okay, which maybe really was that he was using this language that nobody else uses, right? We know people who walk around spouting fancy words and nobody knows what they're talking about. Your son. Okay, there you have it. Amarle, lishtemar. Okay, this doesn't end. Lishtemar anviga. Come sit and drink some wine with me. Amarle, misane isvergus de kari rabbanan o impact amreinche. In others, why don't you use the term isvergus that the rabbis use, or impact that people say? Why do you call it anviga? Amarle, tite dunag tashkinan. Let's call Dunag, my daughter, and she'll give us to drink. Amar le, hachi amar Shmuel. Okay, notice he keeps quoting Shmuel. I feel like he's somehow, I have to look up. There must be some relationship about Shmuel that he keeps bringing Shmuel in. Ein misham shem b'ishakt b'isha. Shmuel says you can't use a woman to be serving you. Okay, now this is things, you know, from Hilchot Nida. We know that one of the harchakot that the wife shouldn't pour wine. When it comes to things like pouring wine, you shouldn't have a woman do it because it has sexual connotations. So he says, ketanahi. Oh, what's the big deal? She's a ketana. It shouldn't bother you. So then he says, beferush amar Shmuel, em sham shem b'isha klal, ben gdola, ben ketana. Okay, they say you shouldn't use a woman whether she's a gdola or a ketana. So he says, right? He keeps trying, Rav Nachman, to say something right, okay? But every time, it's almost like you're having this back and forth, and he keeps thinking, another one, I'll win this time, I'll win this time, I'll get the last word in, and every time Rav Yehuda has something to say. Nishadir le mar shlema liyalta. Why don't you send peace message to my wife, you know, say shalom to regards. Amalei, hachi amar Shmuel, kol b'isha erva afil al yidei shaliach. He says, kol b'isha erva, here we see kol b'isha erva, by the way, in the connotation of speech and not singing. Okay, that if I was to send regards to her, she'll send them back to me and I'll hear her voice and that will be inappropriate. And even al yidei shaliach, you shouldn't even indirectly hear the call of a woman. Amalei, hachi amar Shmuel, ein shalim b'shlom isha al yidei, sorry, I read it wrong. Hachi amar Shmuel kol b'isha erva, period. So then Rav Nachman says to him, Efshar yidei shaliach, we could do it using a messenger. Amar lei, hachi amar Shmuel, ein shalim b'shlom isha al yidei ba'ala. And it's even al yidei ba'ala, you can't, let's say it again. Ein shalim b'shlom isha, even with a messenger. So then he says, al yidei ba'ala, how about her husband, where there's obviously no concern for the message going to get through that, oh, this guy's interested in you. Amar lei, hachi amar Shmuel, ein shalim b'shlom isha klal. Okay? Now, here comes the interesting part. So, if that wasn't interesting enough. So now, clearly, who's got the upper hand? Rav Yehuda. Shalchale debitu, Yalta sends a message, she clearly hears what's going on here. And she sees what's going on to her husband, and he's getting totally humiliated. Sharele tagre delo nishvach kishar ma'aretz. In other words, she says, enough already, right? What is, how do they translate Sharele tagre?
Resolve this dispute and let him go on his way so he cannot make it look like a common
ignorance. Exactly. Okay, so just finish this up already. It's enough. Stop going on because you're looking like an ama'aretz. So Amarle, my shiate demarhacha. So he finally says to him, well, what are you doing here? Amarle, taska de hazmanuta shadamar batrai. You sent me a subpoena. Amarle, hashta shute demar lo gamrinan. Taska de hazmanuta mishadrinan lemar. He's like, what are you talking about? I can't even hold my own in a conversation with you. How could I possibly send you a subpoena? In other words, exactly the way we said in the beginning. You don't have to go to this guy. You're way above him. And there's no reason for you to be called to his court. So he doesn't believe him, basically. He's saying incredulously, like, this can't possibly be. So, apik diska da hazmanuta, mi bechade. He takes out the subpoena from his you know, shirt or wherever, from his bosom. Ve'achzele, and he shows it to him. Amarle, hagavra v'hadiska. He says to him, I'm the man. This is the subpoena. Amarle, so now he doesn't really want to judge him because clearly Rabbi Yehuda is above all this. But what does he say? Very interesting. Since you already came all this way, in other words, had I known, I never would have made you come here. But since you're already here, why don't you tell me what happened? So that they don't say that the rabbis just, right, this is rabbinic immunity, which we all really don't subscribe to, right? We don't want them to say, oh, well, you just let him off because he's a rabbi, and they do that for each other. They do favors. So Amarle, my time is Shamte. So he says, why did you put this guy in Nidoy? Shamte Mar. My time is Shamte Mar, Lahu Gavra. Why did you put Lahu Gavra, this guy, into Nidoy? Right, Shamta is a word for excommunication. So he says, Siyar Shlicha de Rabbanan. He was bothering, right? He was being mean, you know, to the shaliach of a rabbi. Okay, he didn't say it was him, but maybe it was obvious. Or it doesn't even really matter. So he says, V'nag de Mar, why didn't you give him Malkot? De Rav Mangid Amanda Mitzar Shlicha de Rabbanan, because Rav used to give Malkot to the one who's Mitzar Shlicha de Rabbanan. By the way, it's interesting, Rav Nachman's quoting Rav.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something to that. So he answers, "De adif mine avdele." I think that excommunication is worse than lashes, and that's why I gave him that. My time achriz mar alei de avdahu. Why did you say that he's an eved? Amale deragel dekare inche avde v'tane kol posel pasul. Right, he says exactly what we said, that if you're going to be posel, it must be your posel yourself, because call him a posel, b'mumo posel. So comes Rav Nachman and he says, "Ima de amar Shmuel lemechashle lachruze ale mi amar." When he said the Shmuel, he meant just to be concerned. You know, maybe there's something deep rooted, right? That he's really an eved, but he didn't say you should go announce the guy's an eved and treat him like an eved lahalacha. Adahachi v'hachi, whether you read this or not, okay, I'll read it because it makes more sense to read it. Adahachi v'hachi ata hu bardina me nehardea. In the meantime, the guy from nehardea comes into the court. Amar le'ahu bardina le'rabbi Yehuda. Lididi kari liavda. Lididi kari liavda. Datina mibecha shmonai malka. How could you possibly call me an Eved? I come from the house of the Chashmonaim, okay? The Chashmonai kings, the royalty, who were also Kohanim, right? We're clearly not Avadim. Amarle, Rabbi Yehuda always has a retort. Hachi Amar Shmuel, okay, always in the name of Shmuel. Kol da'amra midibei Chashmonai katina, avdehu. Anyone who comes from that family, who claims they come from that family, is really an Eved. Okay? Why is that? The assumption is, we're going to see this soon, but that there was a Hordus came and he killed everybody except for one person. And the people who claimed they were from Bechashmonai were all these people, all the Avadim of Hordus, or the Avadim maybe of the Chashmonai kings, who basically were living there anyway and just said, oh, well, we're the Chashmonai now that nobody's left. So therefore, there was a presumption that they were Avadim. So said Shmuel. Amarle. So now Rav Nachman says to him, Lo sava lamar lahada amarav adabar rav huna amarav. Kol tami chacham shamareha lacha uba. Im kodem ase amra shom imlo. Vim lav, ein shom imlo. So he says, you know, all along you've been quoting these things from Shmuel. But you know, we never heard you say those names in Shmuel's name until now. So there's this concept that if you come, kol tami chacham shamore halacha uba, if he teaches the halacha, we've actually seen this before, and then he shows up on, and then there's a situation, so we can hold like that. But im kore maase amra, shomim lo. But im lav, if he comes after the maase and quotes something in the name of somebody, right, you can imagine. What's the best way if you want to prove your point? Just say, oh, so-and-so said it, who's going to argue with you? So he basically all of a sudden says, you know, enough. You've been quoting Shmuel, 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 Shmuel. How do we know that what you're really quoting is really what happened, what he said? So now he's a little bit stuck, but not exactly. So Amar Le, Ha'ika Rav Matna, Dekai Kavate. I'm not the only one who says that Shmuel says this. Rav Matna also says it. Okay, by the way, we're going to see from the continuation that, well, I'll put it this way. It's not clear that he's doubting everything he said until now or just this last statement. In any case, Rav Matna is going to prove the last statement, which we can say, even if he was doubting everything, the fact that he substantiated one of them, we can assume that they're all okay. So now, what's the problem with Rav Matna? Rav Matna lo chazi le Nehardea tlesar shnei. The last time Rav Matna was seen in Nehardea was 13 years ago. But bimikre hahu yom ata, specifically on that day, who happens to be in Nehardea? Rav Matna. Okay, this is just typical story embellishment, right? Making it exciting. Amar le, dachir mar mai amar Shmuel ki kai chadakari aguda v'chadakari b'mavra. So Rav Yehuda says to him, dachir is zachar, dalet and zayin switch. Do you remember, dachir mar, do you remember what Shmuel said when he was standing with one foot in the banks of the river and one foot in the ferry? Okay, do you remember we were standing there and he was talking and remember what he said? So, Amar le, so he says, yeah, sure. Hachi Amar Shmuel, kol da Amar Amri b'vei chashmonai malka ka'atina avdehu, delo ishtir minayu ela hahi revita. Okay, because the only person, first of all, he says exactly what he said. Anyone who says I'm from that family is an Eved, because there was nobody left from that family except for one revita, one woman, one girl, maiden. Desalka le'igra, she ran up to the roof, v'ram yakala, and she screamed out, v'amra, kol da'amar mi'bei chashmona ayana, avdahu. Okay, she was basically declaring that everyone in the house is dead, and anyone else who claims they're from the bei chashmona ay is an Eved. Naflame igru meta. Okay, and then she maybe committed suicide, or I don't know, was so worked up that she fell from the roof and died. Hurled herself. Ah, interesting. They say hurled. Okay, and she died. So ichru. Okay, so now Rav Nachman has no choice. Okay, he's basically like the beginning of the story. Almost, if you think about it, the beginning of the story set the groundwork. It was almost foreshadowing of what was to happen. He couldn't handle the first debate with him, and he certainly couldn't handle the halachic debate with him. So, ichru zalei to avdehu. Okay, so now they said this guy is an Eved. Now, here, what unfortunately happened is, because he made a whole big public thing about this, there was no choice but to take it to further steps, which was what? Hahu yome ekra an kamak tubata bin hardea. Okay, now there's two different approaches. What happened here? Why did they have to rip up these ketubot? It meant that they had to divorce their wives, all these people, because either they were family. And the shot here, or this seems simple, is that this guy had relatives, right? If he's an Eved and anyone from Beit Hashmonai is an Eved, well, right? It's going to mess up all these people. Some people say that this guy was no longer a kosher witness, and if he was a witness at people's weddings, well, they were no longer married. Ki kanafik. So imagine what the reaction of the people of the city was to Rav Yehuda. They certainly weren't going to put him on so high up on their list now. Well, this is what happens. As he was going to leave, they all went after him to stone him. They're very angry at him, right? He messed up their whole community. Amar lehu, ishtiku shtiku. If you can be silent, be silent. V'ilo, and if not, I'll make it worse. Maglina alaychu hada amar Shmuel. Okay, continuing in Shmuel, I will reveal before you what Shmuel told me. Tarte zarayata ikab in Harta. There's two families in the Harta, basically. It comes from roots from two families. Chada mikriya debe Yona, v'chada mikriya debe Orvate. One family name is Yona, and one family name is Orev. V'simanech, and what's the siman for this? Tame tame tahor tahor. Meaning the Yona is a tahor bird, and the Orev is a tame bird. So whoever is called Yona is a good lineage, and anyone who's called Orev is from bad lineage. Okay, so basically he's saying, if you want me to go further, I can go further, and I can be mitame even more of you. Okay, now, if he's saying that, well, then he already kind of said who's what. But you can understand this more figuratively. He's saying there's two families. He didn't necessarily say who's who and what's what. The fact that he called them Yonah and Orev doesn't mean that was their names and that was what they were known by. But he was basically, or it could be the Simanech is what the Gemara is telling us later, after the fact. You know, he didn't do it then, but the Gemara is commenting, by the way. He didn't say which is which, but you know, the Gemara is telling us later which is which. Shadu alahu, Rigma miyadaihu, become... Oh, right. So they took, right, Shadu alahahu rigma miyadaihu. They took all the rocks that were in their hands. Vika'itma b'nahar malka. They threw it into the Nahar Malka, and there were so many rocks they had ready to hurl at him that they threw them into the river and dammed up the whole river. Okay, the river stopped flowing. Here, I think there's also a, you have to think about it, I don't know what to make of it, but the image of the water stopping, in other words, the water flowing like this. Maybe it's an image of, you know, their lives basically stopped. Like, he really messed up so many things in their lives that it, like, put a cock to all sorts of things, to continuity. You know, in other words, it really, really messed things up. Okay. So, first of all, what you want to make of this story, you know, whether it was a good thing what Rabbi Yehuda did, I don't think so, right? He seemed to be acting, for the most part, out of anger. From the beginning of the story, all throughout, he's specifically trying to flip up Rav Nachman and mess him up. And
his reactions really seem a bit extreme. I mean, it's not nice to be called names, but
right,
nobody did
exactly
more than that. The guy didn't even push in front of him in line.
Right, exactly. Right. This sounds like a typical scene, by the way, in a, you know, in Israel, the lines and people pushing their way. And so, anyway, it's right.
He was advised to go out of respect for the Reish Galuta. He didn't exactly show much
respect. Yes, right. He was advised to go out of respect, right? The whole theme of this whole thing is respect. And maybe it's partly what we're trying to say about respecting, you know, there's a big question here. Is it good that he was, it doesn't sound like it was good that he was mitame all these people. As in general, I think it's what's trying underlying here, although we're going to see that the next few sentences are all different rabbis who messed up, you know, who said, oh, this family's no good, this family's blacklisted families. And I think all throughout history there's this struggle between how much do we make mom, you know, on the one hand there's always this move to be mema'epim mamzirim. So like he even in his whole whatever, he still said, I know more information that I'm not even telling you. If you get me more angry, I'll tell you that too. But here, once he even says he knows this information, we still halachically, it looks like we don't have to go and pursue it, right? That you don't necessarily need to make an issue of it if nobody's asking, right? That if you know about it, then you know about it. If you don't know about it, well then, you know, you don't know about it and don't try to open it up into things. However, we're going to see that these rabbis were. So I think there's always the struggle between how much do we make public, what is public, what's not public. You know, on the other hand, you don't want people marrying mamzerim. So it's very, very tricky to find that fine line between, you know, opening these big doors that we'd rather not open. On the other hand, causing people to be messed up. And that was the whole thing with Ezra also. He wanted them out of Israel because otherwise it was just going to be a big mishkabam and no one was going to know. And he wanted to avoid that. So he was smart at least, and he foresaw the future and said, let's avoid getting it worse, you know, and let's keep it contained. But once it's already out there, then what do you do with it, right? So Rav Yehuda, Machris Rav Yehuda Bapumbedita, Ada v'Yonatan Avde. Okay, said anyone write the Ada and Yonatan are Avadim. Yehuda bar Papa Mamzera. Okay, said this guy's a Mamzer. Bate bar Tuvia Biramu Rucha Lo Shakil Gita Dechiruta. This person was an Eved, but he was so arrogant that he didn't take his get Shechur, even though the guy freed him. He didn't actually take the get because he was so arrogant, so he's still an Eved. Machiz Rava b'Machoza. Rava in Machoza, in his city, was Machriz. Belai, deny, telai, malai, zagai. If you have that name, kulam lifsol. Okay, anyone with that name is no good. I'm Rav Yehuda. Govai is Givonai. Okay, he's from the Givonim, which are the Nitinim. If your name is Dor Ninita, Dirai Nitinai. Okay, it means Dor Ninita is Dirai Nitinai, meaning you come from the family of Nitinim also. So he's saying these names mean, right, this is like nowadays. You know, you have an issue. If your name is, okay, if this is a great thing that goes on, in, I mean, unfortunately, in this country. If your name is Cohen and you're not Jewish because your mother wasn't Jewish, your father was Jewish, right? His name was Cohen. And you go to convert, they won't let you keep your last name. Because Cohen, because you're not really a Cohen, you're a convert. And people are going to think that you're a Cohen and it's going to cause problems. So they won't let you keep your last name. It's a big issue. People are very upset. Nobody wants to change their last name. You know, it's a very big deal. So here you see the family names, you know, set who you are. I'm Rav Yosef. You know, there's also problems with people who have the name Cohen and try to prove that their lineage is not a Cohen, and it's very hard. Because there are people whose name, you know, he took the guy's name who was in front of him online when they got to Ellis Island, or, you know, all sorts of stories where the name just got changed and somehow they can prove it. And it's really difficult in this country to marry a divorcee if your last name is Cohen, even if you can prove you're not. Yeah, you have to really, it's very tricky. Or not even Cohen, any kind of, you know, Cohen type name, like Katz or anything else. I'm Rav Yosef. Hi, Beit Kubi de Pupadita, Kulam de Avde. The whole city of Beit Kubi and Pupadita, they're all Avadim. I'm Rav Yehud, I'm Rav Shmuel. Arba Meot Avadim, there's 400 slaves. Ba'amrila Arba'at Alafim Avadim. Okay, some people say 4,000 slaves. Hayulo Lepashko Ben Imor. Bekulam Yitzmu Bekiuna. And they all, that's unclear what happened, what this means, but either they got mixed up with Kohanim, and we don't know which is Kohen, which is this, or they married Kohanim, which obviously is not allowed. The kol kohen sheyesh bo azut panim, and any kohen who looks arrogant, eino ela mehem. If you see an arrogant kohen, you can assume that it came from him. That's a very strong statement. Amar ba'ei, kulhu yatvan b'shura b'nahardea. Okay, and they all sit in the shura of Nahardea. In other words, they're all in prominent positions, basically. Upliga de Rabbi Elazar, and they disagree with Rabbi Elazar, damar Rabbi Elazar, im ra'ita kohen ba'azut metzach, al tarher acharav. Okay, here you see the opposite approach. Don't go thinking something of it. Shneamar v'amcha kemirivei kohen. That's the mirivei kohen. It shows that the kohanim in general are arrogant. It's their position in society creates arrogance. It's not doesn't mean they came from bad lineage. I'm Rabbi Avin bar Rab Ada. I'm a Rav. Kol anu sei isha she'ena hogenelo. We're back to this. Kishakadosh baruch hu mashresh chinato me'ira kol hashvatim be'em me'ira lav. Okay, when God is being mashresh china on all the shvatim, He's not testifying about you. Shneamar shivteya edut liYisrael. Imatai have edut liYisrael bizman shashavatim shivteya. But if they're not shivteya because they married the wrong people, then God isn't there for you. Amar Rav Chama b'Rabbi Chanina. Again, these are all just ways of deterring people from doing this. Shakadosh Baruch Hu mashre shchinato ein mashre ela amish b'chol miyuchasot shebiYisrael. Shneamar be'ed hayinu mashem yel Elohim l'chol mishpachot Yisrael l'chol Yisrael lo neamar ela l'chol mishpachot. And what is mishpachot Yisrael? Only those that are unflawed. Vehema yuli la'am. Okay, now we're going to darshan one more thing about this. Amarav barapuna zoma alayi tera yesh ben Yisrael legerim. Here's something Yisrael have over the gerim. Ti'ilu v'Yisrael k'tiv b'hu v'ayiti lahem l'Elohim vehema yuli la'am. I will be for them a God and they will be for me a nation. V'ilu b'gerim, it's the opposite order. K'tiv mihu ze arev et libo lageshet elay nu'um Hashem. Vayitem li la'am, and you come to become my nation, you're a ger. Vanochi ehye lachem l'Elohim, and then I'll be your God. In other words, different relationship. Amar Rabbi Chelbo, kashim gerim l'Israel kesapachat. We've seen this before, like one of the nigaim. שנאמר, ונלווה גר עליהם ונסבחו על בית ישראל, ועל בית יעקב. טיפחה ונסבחו וטיפחתם לספה ולספחת. Okay, so now they're going to say that Gerim are kashim liYisrael. Okay, there's different interpretations what this means. Either they bring down the level, you know, because their level is not as good as Yisrael, or they create, right, what else? Right, Rashi says that they're going to teach you their ma'asim, okay? And also, they're going to come with bad ma'asim. Okay, nowadays we see that Dafka Gerim sometimes bring up, like if there's a convert in the family, a non-religious family, and he wants to marry a, you know, or one marries a convert, and they go through all this learning, and sometimes they bring up the level, right? And often they are more serious than the other. So this isn't necessarily true. And there's other interpretations. That also, so the Sefer HaMikneh explains much more related to this issue of what we're discussing here, that since a ger can marry a mamzer, so it allows for more mamzerim to be around, and it creates more, it's kashek kesapacha, and that is going to eventually filter into our world, and, you know, people are going to marry mamzerim, which fits in with the context here, not necessarily in the context of the statement in other places, but definitely with the context here. So anyway, this is all you see. First of all, the last point I want to make about today is you can see how much they struggled with this, that it was a very real problem, and it still is a problem today, how to deal with Mamzerut and whether to publicize, not to publicize. You know, it was clearly a problem then. It was a problem from Ezra. It was a time problem, you know, in the Amoraim time period. It was clearly an issue, and the fact that I always say this when we have these statements that say, oh, this punishment's going to happen to you and this is going to happen, it's clear that it was a strong issue and they needed to make broad statements like this to get the people scared and try to be careful about it. So also indicating that people weren't so careful about this and that things were kind of messy and there were lots of mamzerim families living there that people didn't necessarily know about. So, which makes sense, right? I mean, it's a very obvious thing that this would be, you know, like it is today. We don't always know who's a mamzer and it's complicated. So complicated then, complicated now. Shabbat Shalom.